A welcome to this service of worship, the beginning of a new week. We can come together and we can praise and worship the living God. It's a great privilege to be able to do that. And on this particular Sunday, we have a pool of water at the front. And towards the end of the service, Jess and Daniel will be going into that water and will be submerged. And I'll say a little bit about that later on. So that'll happen at the end. We're going to hear something from them as to why they're doing this. We're going to begin our time together by reading from the Word of God, from John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1. If you've got one of the church Bibles, it's on page 1063. John chapter 1 and verse 1. These words were written by John, who was an apostle, and I'll say something about what that means later on. But he's speaking here with the authority of God. He's writing, should I say, so we're reading the Word of God, and he's writing about the Son of God. And he writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." And then a few verses later on in verse 14, John writes this: "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." We're going to sing about this living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has held the oceans in his hands, who has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Our Father, we bow before you now as the one true living God. We praise you that you are the God without beginning and without end, without limit, almighty, the God who knows all things, all powerful, the God who has made all things, and all things have been made for your glory. We praise you that as we sit here this morning, you have made us out of nothing, from the dust of the earth, male and female, in your image. Lord, we praise you that you know us better than we know ourselves. Lord, we praise you that you are a God who saves. We thank you that you sent your Son into this world to save sinners. Lord, we praise you that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one through whom all things were made, the one without whom nothing was made that has been made, we thank you that he came into this world. He took on a human nature so that Jesus Christ is both God and man. And we thank you for his life, a sinless life. The only person who's ever lived who didn't deserve to die. And yet he did die because he willingly laid down his life. And Lord, we praise you that our sin was laid upon him. And he looked like the sinner. And he did it so that sinful men and women and boys and girls can go free, can be saved, can know you, can have life, be rescued from death. Thank you for the work that you have done in both Jess and Daniel, for opening their eyes and hearts to understand, to see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the way you've watched over them, and pray that you would continue to, as they seek to live for you, help them. Help them in their schools. Help them in all that they do to honour you. And we pray that this day, as they'll be nervous, we pray that you would meet with them and reveal yourself to them, that they would come away from this day knowing in an even greater way what a great God you are and what a wonderful Saviour is Jesus Christ. May you work by your Holy Spirit in their hearts this day. We pray that for all of us this day. Give us reason to worship. Give us reason to hope, Lord. Without Christ, there is no hope. But in Jesus Christ, we can be full of hope. Lord, we pray that you would bless every part of this service this morning. Lord, we do pray that you would be with your people later on this evening as we meet here. Those who meet in Carmel, be with Russell there as he preaches your word. We remember Alan and Pat in Bordeaux. Thank you that they've had a time of rest over this past week. And we pray that you would help Alan preaching today. We continue to pray for Stuart. Thank you for the way you've been with him and strengthened him, helped him in practical ways in this past week. We pray that you would continue to grant him comfort, help, strength. And we pray particularly for Tuesday. We pray for the funeral service, the Thanksgiving service of Dol. We pray that that would be a time where you are honoured, glorified, and that Stuart particularly would know you drawing near to him and blessing him and revealing to him your kindness and your goodness and the fact that you are the God who is over all. Lord, we do remember those who can't be with us this morning because of ill health. We think particularly of Anne Hakesley and pray that you would continue with her. Thank you for bringing Peter Slomski to us. And we do pray for him that his time with us in Deeside over these coming months would be a time of refreshment for him and to us, and that you would lead and guide him concerning future work in Poland. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we pray that in everything we do this day, you would be honoured, you would be glorified, and we would be humbled before you, humbled in order to be lifted up as we see our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that is ours in him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've asked Richard to come up and do the notices. I've asked Richard to be as brief as it's possible to be, but there's a lot of, I'm not suggesting anything in that, by the way. Sorry, it's out now, Richard. I can't take it back.
If I speak very quickly, you'll have to ignore me. Very good morning, everyone. Welcome to our morning service here at Christchurch Deeside. We extend that welcome in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. As it is a baptismal service, I've got to say this bit of health and safety, obviously, Matt. Please, the children remind their young parents that there is an open baptismal bath in front of us, so please be careful. As meetings continue here this evening at 6 o'clock, when Matt will again lead us in God's worship, and our evening service will be preceded by communion at 5:15. Russell Taylor is preaching in Carmel this evening at 6 o'clock. 9:15 on Monday morning, it's time for Sunbeams and Busy Buddies at 7 o'clock here tomorrow evening. On Tuesday, it's the funeral of Dol Olliott, and to remind you that the services is at 12 noon at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Mould. The burial service is at Harden Cemetery at 2:30 in the afternoon, and refreshments will be served here at the church after. Bethany Books will be closed this Tuesday. On Wednesday is an elders meeting at 9:30 in the morning, a ladies' prayer meeting at 2 Higher Shotton Farm at 10 o'clock, and a church members' meeting here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening, 7:30 on Wednesday evening. Our Bible study is 10:45 on Thursday morning, and in the evening there's a meeting entitled Bread of Heaven, The Life and Hymns of William Williams Pantakellin. That's Dr. Gwyn Davis will be speaking. The meeting is 7:30 on Thursday evening. The tract table will be open on the streets of Shotton on Friday. Dick will meet here at 7:30 on Friday evening. This coming Saturday is the AECW Annual Conference at Newtown Evangelical Church, 10:30 onwards for coffee. The meeting starts at 11. Bill Hughes will be preaching here at 10:30 next Sunday morning. Matt Francis at 6 o'clock in the evening. And elders and deacons meeting at 8 o'clock following the evening service. Next week, it's our mission week. There's a leaflet on the table as you go out detailing all the different events that will take place during the week from the 15th to the 19th. Will those of you who attend the Welsh Bible Study Group see Rhys as soon as possible? I don't mean immediately, but when the service is finished. And Esther and Matthew went to see the European School of Biblical Studies Open Day, where Tomas is. And there's a lovely picture of him in orange. I've never seen him in orange before, but there we are. And there's a little bit of detail about him, which you can read if I pin this up later. He sends his love and his Christian best wishes to you all. Wasn't too bad, was it? Right.
That was remarkable as always. Thank you. I've got one notice to add. Now, that's just to say that there are invitations on the table at the back for the meeting that's going to take place on Wednesday, the 17th of May. Christianity and Science, Dinosaurs, Dragons and DNA. So Professor Steve Taylor, who came last year twice, is coming to speak on that topic at 7:30, Wednesday the 17th of May. Well, it's good to have Jess and Daniel with us. I'm particularly glad that you're here. It's good to have your family and friends with us as well. In a minute, I'm going to ask Jess to come up and say something about why she's here today and going to be entering the water, and Daniel will do the same. But just to mention, before we do that, the water here is normal. There's nothing special about this water. It probably comes from the River Dee, which makes it in many ways far from special. But it has been cleaned, it has been heated, but it's normal water. And the water doesn't have any magical significance, really. When Jess and Daniel are baptized later on, what takes place is a sign of something that's already happened. They've been washed clean from all of their sin in Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful picture of that. But also, the reason they've been washed clean is because they are in Jesus Christ. The Bible talks a number of times about people being baptized by the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. That's already happened. They're already washed clean by Jesus Christ. They've already been baptized by the Spirit. But God's Spirit joins them to Jesus Christ. Sometimes we refer to that as union with Christ. They're joined to Christ so that all that is Jesus's is theirs. All of his goodness, his loveliness is theirs. And so they stand before God, and he sees them in Christ. And that's what's pictured here. It's a wonderful picture. But also, when they're baptized, it acts as a seal of what has taken place in their lives. It's a means by which the Lord Jesus Christ has given to his church for Christians to be strengthened in their faith. Because as surely as they're going to be washed in that water, that's how real the work of God is in their lives, cleansing them from their sin. And as surely as they're going to go into that water, and it's a very visual sermon, so are they joined to Jesus Christ. And there may be days ahead, Jess and Daniel, in your Christian life where you may find things tough. And you may be caused to question, well, am I really washed clean? Am I really in Jesus Christ? You can look back to this and you can say, look, as surely as I was washed by that water, that's how real these things are. It's a wonderful sign. It's a wonderful seal of God's work. Jess.
Good morning. I spent a really long time thinking about what I wanted to say this morning, and too much of that time was spent staring at a blank page. The only reason I could think of for such a block was the fear that my story isn't good enough to tell. You see, my story isn't exciting. There's no near miss with death, no grand epiphany, no burning bush. In my story, all there is a steady growth of love for Christ. What I was failing to realise is that, in itself, is a miraculous tale. When I was born to the world 9 weeks early in January 2001, I loved my mother. And every day since then, even when I did not know what love was, I've grown in my love for her and come to convey it in actions rather than words alone. That, in many ways, is how I came to be a Christian. Though in the beginning I had no concept of who God was, nor any idea of what the cross meant for my future, in my tiny heart, I had an outpouring of belief for the Lord. Over the span of, 10 years? Or more, with the help and prayers of some very dear family friends, I've grown in my understanding of, and consequently, my love for my Saviour, Jesus Christ. This journey continues, even today. That's my story. That's everything. But my story doesn't have to be epic. The most amazing story has already been written for me, and it's right here in this book, The True Life and Times of Jesus Christ. and the unfolding of the Lord's great plan to save a doomed, sinful humanity and bring us to paradise. It's incredible. I'm not stood here because of anything I have done. I'm not even really stood here because of something you have done. I'm stood here because there's one God, a creator, who is also a king, who holds all the stars in the span of his hand, a Lord who sent his only son, a part of him, down to earth to know humanity, to preach and teach and know pain and loss and betrayal and finally death. We will be raised with him to a new heaven and a new earth. And I'm stood here to serve him. Who wouldn't want to know and love a God like that? I don't want to pretend that faith is easy, because it's not, even as a teenager. There are still struggles, and there's still sin and guilt and bad days. But nothing happens outside of our Father's care. Some days I know what I should be doing and how joyfully I should welcome a new day, but my heart isn't there yet. And what I've learned is patience. I must position myself under the Lord and his waterfall of grace, and I wait on him. When the time is right, he brings my head and my heart together and renews my spirit. This is my journey. We may be in a war with the devil and temptation, but death has been defeated. And I'm overwhelmed with love for the one who conquered it. Thank you.
My name is Daniel. I was born in Peterborough in England. I can't remember becoming a Christian, but I can remember wondering for a few years whether I was or not. When I went to camp last summer, I finally knew for sure that I was. On the Wednesday night, I was asking a camp leader lots of questions for about half an hour. For all the answers, he showed me verses from the Bible that he had underlined that showed how great God's love is and how amazing it is to send his son to die for sinners. Most of his Bible was underlined. I thought about this for a few minutes in my dorm, and I prayed that God would forgive my sins. But after I finished praying, I felt different. I felt happier because I knew that God had forgiven my sins. When I saw my dad after camp, I told him, "I know for sure that I'm a Christian." He said, "Good." I now know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I have assurance. It's not easy being a Christian at school because people try to force me to swear and do other things like that. I want to be baptized because Jesus was, and it says you should in the Bible. Also, it is a sign to show that I have become a Christian.
Thank you. Thank you, Jess and Daniel. They're not forced to do that, by the way. We like to hear something, but the option's there that they can write something and somebody else can read it. Hopefully that will encourage some of you, because I know over the years I've met people who say, "Well, I can't be baptized because I haven't had this moment that I can point to in my life where I know I became a Christian." Well, neither of these have. But they know that they are Christians. They don't know the moment that it actually took place, but the Lord has worked in their lives, and now they know that they are his, and they've wanted to do this. But thank you for what you've said and shared with us. If you've got any... I didn't tell them this, but if you want to ask some questions afterwards, anybody, then feel free to do so. That won't be public, that's sort of one-to-one. I should have said at the beginning that all of the things we're singing, apart from the last thing we'll sing today, have been chosen by Jess and Daniel. So we're going to sing again, "King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven living in me, gentle Saviour, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne." God's word now from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. If you have one of the church Bibles, this is on page 1094, Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 36 to the end of the chapter. Before I begin reading, Peter is speaking. Peter who was an apostle. And I'll say a bit about what an apostle is in a little while. He's preaching on a day that was known as the day of Pentecost. And he's preaching about Jesus. And he's showing from the whole of the Bible that Jesus, who had been crucified, has been raised exactly as the whole of the Bible said he would. And he gets towards the end of his sermon, and we're going to pick that up in verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We will sing again before we turn back to those verses. In Christ alone, my hope is found.
Thank you.
probably gathered by now that Jess and Daniel are going to be baptized. Baptism acts really as the entry point into a local church. We read in the reading that we just had, Peter said to the people when they were cut to the heart, they were challenged by the fact that they had rejected Jesus Christ. And they said, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent. That means to turn from your sin, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to God and be baptized. And we read, 3,000 of them did that, which is quite remarkable in and of itself. But it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number. Their number was 120, and it became 3,120. They were added to their number. There was something for them to be added to, and that's important. If I can ask the question this morning, what were they added to? What were they joining? Because this is important for Jess and Daniel, because they're being baptized, and God willing, in a couple of weeks' time, we will receive them into the membership of this local church. But we have to ask the question, what are they joining? And in order to answer that question, we're going to look at verse 42 that we read. Because the people in the church in Jerusalem were devoted to four things. And in God's goodness and with God's help, as a church here, we are devoted to these four things. We are. And we must continue to be increasingly. So this is what you're joining, Jess and Daniel. That's possible in life to be devoted to many things. Devoted to your family. You can be devoted to Manchester City Football Club, which I know some people here over that side of the room are this morning. There's nothing particularly sinful about that. But you know, when you join this church, there's people that are devoted to other football teams, like Luton Town, Peterborough United, some lesser teams as well, like Liverpool and Manchester United and so on. But as a church, there are four things that we're all devoted to together. And they're here in verse 42. The first thing is hearing. Hearing. It says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, they came along, not literally, but you can imagine them coming along, pulling their ears out like this, saying, we want to hear. We want to hear your teaching. Now, I said I was going to talk about apostles very briefly. These people were people who were ordinary men, but the Lord Jesus Christ had specifically chosen them and given them a very special role to do not long after he had gone up into heaven in the early church. They also had one very important qualification. Not only were they specifically set apart by Jesus Christ, they had seen Jesus Christ after he had been raised from the dead with their eyes. That's why one of the reasons we don't have apostles today, because none of us can claim that. I mean, there are other reasons I'm not going to get into this morning, but there can't possibly be them today, because none of us have seen Jesus with our literal eyes. We see him by faith. But these people had specific authority given to them. So when they spoke and taught, and we've got their writings written down in the Bible, they speak with the authority of Jesus Christ himself. And so we have these things in the Bible, and that's our authority in everything. But the impression we get of these people is they just can't get enough. They're hungry for more. They're devoted to the teaching. They want to hear. I was talking to somebody last week who was telling me they came to a baptismal service, I think, when they were 17 years old. They weren't a Christian themselves, but they went along to this baptismal service and they heard the preaching and they found it dull. Maybe that'll be some of your experiences today. I hope it isn't. But then a while later, went to another baptism, found a similar thing. But a little while later, they became a Christian. Went back to the church. Nothing had changed in the church. But the teaching wasn't dull anymore. They had a hunger for it and a desire for it. Jess and Daniel, you're never going to reach a point where we're going to ask you to come up to the front and you'll put a gown on and one of those funny flat hats and we'll give you a scroll and say, well done, you've graduated from the school of learning the apostles' teaching. In fact, sorry to disappoint you, but it's not at all disappointing. The more you learn, the more you will realize how great God is and how little you actually know. Isn't that true? Because God is infinite. And the more you burrow into his love and mine and understand, the more little you feel. A few weeks ago, probably a few months ago actually, we had Philip Eveson come and speak to our... We have a men's study group that meets every other month. And he spoke about Jesus Christ and how Jesus is both God and man. And I think all of us sat there and we were blown away. I don't think anybody's mouth was literally open, but we came away feeling at the same time greatly lifted up, but at the same time very small, thinking about the wonder of Jesus Christ. They devoted themselves to hearing. What was the apostles' teaching really? Well, Peter actually begins this sermon, or part of it, and he says, men of Israel, listen to this. And then his next word is, Jesus. Now, I didn't put Daniel up to it, and it only struck me as I was listening to him this morning. But he talked about how this chap on the camp showed Daniel verses in the Bible that he'd underlined that spoke about God's great love for sinners and the fact that Jesus came and lived and died for sinners. And he made the quip, the joke that, well, nearly all the Bible was underlined. But that's actually a very important point. Because Jesus taught the apostles to be able to understand the whole Bible. And it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ saving sinners. Being a hearer, devoting yourself to being a hearer is a place of humility. You come along every week saying, I need to hear from God. I depend upon him. My rule in every part of my life is the word of God. It's so important. He satisfies you completely. But there's a sense in which you're dissatisfied because you want more. Heard somebody a few weeks ago refer to this as satisfied dissatisfaction. I don't want to suggest at all that Jesus Christ doesn't satisfy. He does. But you want more of him. You want to know more. That's the picture we have here. Secondly, sharing. So we've had hearing. They devoted themselves to sharing. This word here we have is that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. That word fellowship has as its heart things in common, sharing, togetherness. It's a lovely word. Now, before I talk about what it means, I'll talk about what it doesn't mean, because this is important. It doesn't mean Christians are to come together in a local church, like Christ Church Deeside, and we're to be like a commune, and we're to be communists, and we're to pull all of our stuff, and we no longer have the right to owning anything. There was a community that began sometime around 160 BC, probably, and ran through maybe until about 70 AD, known as the Qumran community, not to be confused with the place in South Wales, Qumran. The Qumran community, very, very different places. The Qumran sect, they part of their thinking was that joining it, you gave up the right to having any personal property. That isn't what it was like. Now, I could go to lots of places to prove this, but just within our reading, we read in verse 46, they broke bread in their homes. It's enough, isn't it? They still had homes. They broke bread in their homes. They didn't relinquish the right to all personal property. Anything that teaches that is wrong. But there was this voluntarily giving to help others because they loved one another and they wanted to help. They shared together. And that's something we do as a church. We mourn together with those who mourn. On Tuesday in the life of the church, we have a funeral service, a service where we will meet and we will remember and we will give thanks and we will have a good sing together to God's goodness and we will thank him. And in doing so, we mourn together and we rejoice together as a family. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do. We share in people's joy as well. I think sometimes that can be harder than sharing in people's grief, because often we can be jealous. But we share in people's joy, we help one another in their needs. Why do we do this? Because we're children of God. And there's a unique bond between us. There's a togetherness, a sharing. It's impossible to be committed to Jesus without being committed to his people. That's why these early church people, they were baptized and they were added to their number. They came into the membership of the church because they were committed to Jesus. Therefore, they were committed to his people. And it should stand out. That's a challenge to us as a church. Our love for one another, our care for one another should run even deeper than the closest family and any club that exists, because the Church of Jesus Christ isn't a club. Now, I've spoken to Jess and Daniel the last two Friday evenings down here at the church before the dig meets, and last Friday, I think it was, maybe it was the Friday before, I can't remember, you'll remind me afterwards, said to them, you know, it's a great privilege to join a church. But with privilege comes responsibility. People will pray for you. They already do. People will take an interest in you. They'll talk to you. They'll ask you about your exams that you've got coming up, and they'll be praying for you, Jess. Sure they will when you get there as well, Daniel. But enjoy the time you've got before you get to it. But at the same time, you'll have a responsibility to do the same for others and to show that caring and sharing. How do we fare as a church? Hearing, sharing, remembering. It's very important. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. Literally, that says to the breaking of the bread. It's a reference to the Lord's Supper, communion services. They met together and they ate the bread and they drank the wine, remembering the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did they do that? Because the Lord had told them to. The Lord had given them this very simple meal, the bread and the wine. And he'd said, do this in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat and drink the bread and the wine, you proclaim, you're saying something, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes. they did it because the Lord commanded them to. But why did the Lord give us that symbol? Why has the Lord given the church this communion service, this Lord's Supper? And one of the reasons, because he knows that in our lives, we get distracted. So every other week, roughly, in the life of the church here, we have the table set here and we eat together and we drink together the bread and the wine. Because in our lives, things get crowded out. Maybe you can reach a point in your life where you start thinking, do you know, I'm a good Christian and I can see why God would want me. And we forget that actually we depend upon the death of Jesus Christ, his life lived on our behalf for everything. There is no life without Jesus. We can get all sorts of thoughts going into our minds, but we depend upon him. And during that time we focus and we remember the cost, the death of Jesus Christ. And we remember that our every hope is in him. A couple of years ago as a church we went through this little booklet here. I don't know if anybody has any vague recollection of that. The first question says this: what is our only hope in life and death? And the answer, that we are not our own, but belong, body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Saviour, Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, that's all that matters, that we belong to Christ. And we have this table that speaks that to us. A few weeks ago, Stuart sent the email out to many people talking about the fact that Dol, his dear wife, had gone to be with the Lord. There's a copy of it on the notice board at the back. But in that, he talked about how immediately preceding that moment where she passed into Christ's presence, what was he doing? He was singing hymns and choruses, and he specifically says, I was reading some of the big Bible texts. Those Bible texts, those Bible verses, would have been pointing Dol to Christ. Would have been saying to Dol, look, your only comfort in life and death isn't in me, your husband. It's in Jesus Christ. In him there is life, everlasting life. And so as a church, we remember that often by eating and drinking together. Are you prone to skip the Lord's Supper? Do you get to Saturday night and think, oh no, it's the Lord's Supper tomorrow. I've got to set my alarm 45 minutes earlier. I once had a boss when I worked for Caterpillar. I won't mention his name. He's quite an interesting chap. He wasn't our boss for long. If I remember our first team meeting, he stood up in front of everybody and he said, I'm going to make this such a good department to work in that you're all going to be running to work. He didn't. And it was a bit crazy, really. I know where he was going with it, but it was a bit OTT. But when it comes to the Lord's Supper, surely there's got to be a sense in which I want to be there. I want to join with my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, because my only hope in life and death is that I belong to Jesus Christ, and I want to remember and give thanks and be strengthened together with these people in my faith. Hearing, sharing, remembering, praying. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Again, literally, it's and to the prayer or the prayers. He's talking about people praying together. The church meeting and praying together. Wonderful privilege that we have. The church must be a praying church. That means you pray as individuals, but it means we meet together and we pray. And we have to be devoted to that. Do you really believe this morning? I'm asking this question to the church, that without the Lord Jesus Christ as a church, we can do nothing. Do you believe that? Because that's the truth. Without Christ, we can do nothing. And when we meet together and we pray, we're asking for his help. We're crying out to him to help us. Verse 47, the last verse that we read, the final sentence says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." The Lord added. It's his work. Only the Lord can save. Prayer is essential in the life of the church. The Lord added. It's interesting to note that he only added to their number those who were saved. And those who were saved were added to their number. They weren't loose canon Christians. A few years ago, a chap by the name of Art Azurdia III, he's from America, by the way, he spoke at a conference we have for pastors in Bala, and it's very memorable for lots of reasons. But one of the sentences I remember that stuck in my mind that he said was, a lot of our church services, and he meant our church services, he wasn't pointing the finger at other people, can be a bit like the bland leading the bland. A bit dull and kind of nothingness, and everybody feels it. So nothing really happens. This verse here about being devoted to prayer. Prayer changes things. Do you really pray expecting things to happen? Did you pray this morning that something would happen when you came and met with God's people, that the Lord would meet with you? Have we prayed that together enough as a church over this last week? I don't want it to be the bland leading the bland. We want the Lord to meet with us so that in a sense you forget I'm here. And in a little sense, we forget one another are here, although we're strengthened together in the Lord. That's what we need to pray for week by week. We meet and we pray on a Tuesday evening here. And they're wonderful times, usually. I mean, they're always wonderful times. Sometimes they're more wonderful than others. There's been a number of times, I look back over the 4 years I've been here, I've been struggling in the week for preparing for Sunday morning, and we've prayed, and then the Wednesday morning's been the best time of study I've had, because I've been lifted by our prayers together. And then we have this little meeting on Sunday morning before we meet, of a prayer meeting in the room there. And if anybody was to walk into that meeting and look at us, in many ways, we're a pathetic bunch. No offence to anybody here who goes regularly to that meeting, but we are. We're weak. We're nothing, are we? As we sit there and we pray, humanly speaking. And yet, again, there's been times where I've come down here on a Saturday night and I thought, oh dear, I can't preach tomorrow. I don't feel as though I've got anything. I've laboured this week. And then I've come into that meeting and together we've prayed. And there's been life. It's a wonderful verse a few chapters on in Acts chapter 10, and I would encourage this to be our attitude as a church. Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. I'm not even going to read the whole verse. This is what Cornelius says to Peter. There's a chap called Cornelius. He's got Peter to come and preach in his house. And his house is full with all of his family, friends and so on. And he says to Peter, "Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Let that verse be something of what our church is like over the rest of this year and beyond. And may we pray that verse. That's what we want when we gather. We depend upon him. So Jess and Daniel, that's what you're joining For those of you who are already members of the church, that's what you've joined. Now you might say, well, what about evangelism? What about the gospel work? What about telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ? That doesn't get a mention. Aren't we to be devoted to that? Well, I'll answer that question. A church that is devoted to hearing, sharing, remembering, and praying will be sharing the gospel. It will just ooze out of us. People will see Christ in us. Some of them will hate it, hate him. Some will be drawn. People will see and notice. For Jess and Daniel, as you join, you need to be devoted to these four things, and we will help you in that. And if as a church down the road, we're ever not devoted to those four things, then please leave and find a church that is, because we need to be devoted to those four things. So you pray that we remain devoted to those things, because it's absolutely crucial. Without them, we will wither and die. All of these things have Christ at the center. Hearing. What did they want to hear? They wanted to hear about Jesus. Because without him, there's no life, only death and separation from God. They shared. Why? Because they knew that they were joined to Jesus Christ. And they knew that this person sitting next to them was joined to Jesus Christ. And they knew that that person at the front, even though they supported a football team that they really hated, they didn't have football teams in those days, but bear with me, they knew that that person was joined to Jesus Christ. And so they loved them as well, because there's a unique bond. It's all about Jesus Christ. Well, the remembering is pretty obvious why that's about Christ, the Lord's Supper. It's his, and we remember his death, his broken body, his blood that was shed. And then praying. What are we doing? We're calling upon the Lord to come in power upon us as we worship, upon others, to draw them in, to draw them to the Saviour, to have life. Do you have this life this morning? Do you have this life that Jess and Daniel spoke about? A life that is only available in Christ. Outside of him, there is no hope. There's no comfort in life and in death, because it's only in knowing Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that in your great wisdom, you have put in place the local church. It's the only Christian organization that we find. We thank you for this particular church. We thank you for those who have faithfully served over the years. Some are with their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, in glory now. Lord, help us to be devoted to these things. Devoted ultimately to you. Recognising that we depend upon our Lord and Saviour for everything. We never move past needing Christ. We are saved sinners depending upon him every day. Lord, we do pray that you would be with Jess and Daniel. Lord, may it be that even as they're baptized in a few moments, you would confirm to them the wonder of this, the fact that they are in Christ. They have life, they have passed from death to life. They have a certain hope, an everlasting hope that is kept, where they will be like Christ. They will see him and they will be like him one day. Even now, make them more like Jesus Christ, we pray. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. When we get to the chorus, we kind of split up a bit. I can't really explain it, so you just have to go with it. If you've never sung it before, then by the time we get to the second or third chorus, hopefully you'll know what's going on. Let's sing.
Thank you.
moment, Therese, one of the elders here, is going to ask a few questions to Jess and then to Daniel. Assuming they answer those questions, we will then baptize them. The questions ask things to do with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because when the Lord commanded his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, he commanded them to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's why these questions are being asked. Jess is going to be baptized first. When she comes up out of the water, there'll be a slight delay because things are going to be on there, but the words for a final hymn will come up. We'll sing verse 1, then Daniel will come down, and then when he comes up, we will then stand and sing verses 2 and 3. We'll remain seated for verse 1. I think that's all. Thank you, Therese.
Jess, do you believe in God the Father?
I do.
Do you believe in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit who sets you apart?
I do.
Do you confess your faith?
Jesus is Lord.
Daniel, do you believe in God the Father?
I do.
Do you believe in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit who sets you apart?
I do.
Do you confess your faith?
Jesus is Lord.
Jess Henry, on your ongoing profession of repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Just to say, if you could avoid using the toilets for about 5 minutes, as we'll be getting changed in them, please stay for refreshments afterwards. Let us pray. Our Father, what a privilege it is to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your great work in saving Jess and Daniel, and pray that you would strengthen them in their faith. Lord, we do pray that you would lead us to the cross of Jesus Christ, and that we would humbly bow before you as the one true living God, and that we would know you in Christ. Oh, make us more like him, we pray, that you would have all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.